Scripture reading this morning is Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, 13 through 14, and chapter 4, 10 and 12. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flame of the fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and lo, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside and see this great sign. Thy bush is not burnt. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. Then he said, Do not come near. Put off your shoes from your feet, for the place in which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the Lord your father, the God of Abram, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then Moses said to God, If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, The God of our father has sent me to you, and they ask me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent you. But Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither. Therefore, or since thou hast spoken to thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue. Then the Lord said to him, Who has made man's mouth? Who has made him dumb or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Thou therefore go, and I will be with your mouth, and I will teach you what you shall speak. This ends the scripture readings.
Thank you. So I've got this friend who has this, I don't want to say unique, but an interesting form of this mental illness called social anxiety. And social anxiety is this thing where you get afraid of people, or there, when you are in social situations, when you're around people, your heart rate goes up and you start breathing faster, you start to sweat. People with social anxiety feel very, very uneasy. But my friend here has a unique form of it, and that is that it's not people necessarily, but phone calls that make him really, really nervous. And so when his phone rings, he will look at the phone and he'll hear the phone and his heart rate goes up and it's as if he is in a threatening situation. He feels very, very uneasy about that. And after the phone stops ringing, because sometimes he won't pick it up, and he will be afraid to check the message. He's got this thought that somebody on the other end might be angry at him, somebody at the other end might be putting him into an uncomfortable situation. I don't know, maybe somebody trying to tell him to vote for the candidate that he doesn't want to vote for. But there it is. There's this fear, and then when he does get the message, he is afraid to call back. He's afraid to call back and afraid to pick it up and to dial the phone. And he's afraid that somebody will be angry with him for not picking up the phone. And you see how this can be a downward cycle for my friend here? And this could be a bad situation. And so he's got this form of social anxiety that keeps him from communicating in a way that most of us communicate with pretty easily. But for some reason for him, phones are a problem. But for a lot of us, when God calls, there's a problem. When it's God on the other end of the line, we can have a problem. Sometimes we're afraid to pick up. Sometimes we're afraid to have that conversation. Sometimes we are reluctant to move into what God is calling us to. And if that sounds like you, you're in pretty good company. You're in pretty good company. We read about that today in our scripture about Moses and the burning bush and being called to go back to Egypt. We're continuing our series on the book of Exodus today, and today we've entitled our message Calling because of what it is that Moses was called to. So we're going to dive into that, and we're going to start by our weekly struggle with that. There we go. God's bonfire. God's bonfire. And for those of you who went to Sunday school as kids, you probably remember that flannel graph sheet with the burning bush. How many have been exposed to flannel graph in a church? Right? Okay, so there is a number of you, and also I suspect a few of you who don't admit to it. I suspect. And there it is. You know, you can almost picture it in your mind. The sweet Sunday school teacher standing in front of you and puts Moses up and says, Moses was tending the sheep, and suddenly he came across this burning bush, and the bush wouldn't burn up, and God spoke to him out of the bush. And says something interesting, right? Says something that we might not expect. And that is, take off your shoes. Why did he have to take off his shoes? He was standing on holy ground. Okay, somebody was listening, right? Somebody was listening, right? He was standing on holy ground, right? Now, I don't know about you, but most of the time, the reason I take off my shoes is because I enter somebody's house. Right? When you go into somebody's house, some people don't take off their shoes when they're walking around the house. Other families do take off their shoes when they walk around their house. And so when you're going to a new place for the first time, you kind of look around their entryway to see whether there's a bunch of shoes there to let you know whether you need to take your shoes off. Am I the only one? Okay. All right, so this is common, right? And we look to see, and that's the only time we take off our shoes. This idea of taking off our shoes because we're in the presence of God is a little strange to us. It's a little strange to us, but the idea here is that you're on holy ground. You're on the place where God dwells, and so you're going to take off your shoes, his sandals, so that nothing would separate Moses from him in that ground. That he would actually be touching that ground where God was. We hear from God when we dwell on holy ground. That's the first thing I want you to take from this message. In God's bonfire, we hear from God when we dwell on holy ground. And so these are the times when you are regularly attending worship, when you are regularly taking time out of your day to be in prayer, when you are regularly taking out of time to do devotions and read scripture, when you are regularly engaging in conversations with an accountability partner or a small group, when you are regularly doing these things, and not just to discuss what's going on in the world, but to have this certain level of vulnerability that says, I will accept accountability from you. And that's a trust relationship. These ideas of these things that we do on our own and these things that we do together, these are the things that make up holy ground. These are the things that put us into what I call, have you ever heard of headspace? You know, you got to be in a certain headspace to do a certain thing. What I call a certain soul space. A soul space where we can begin to hear and learn and be directed from God. See, if I get caught up in my routine, then it's very, very easy to do. And if it's easy for me to do, I'll bet it's easy for you to do. I get caught up in a routine. Get up in the morning, go do this, go do that, go do this, go do that. At the end of the day, go to bed. And the routine is such that I can block out anything having to do with spirituality, anything to do with God and my soul. And if I can do that as a pastor, I'm sure it's easy for you to do as well. So we need to discipline ourselves to go to that holy ground. We need to humble ourselves and take off whatever metaphorical shoe needs to be taken off so that nothing is separating us from God. And that's the first step. That's the first step in doing that. To finding the place, finding the time, making the place, making the time to make sure that we are going to God. Otherwise, we won't be hearing from God. Now, whoops, okay. God says something, right? God says something from that bush. Moses is called by God to go back to the place he ran from. Moses gets called from God to go back to the place he ran away from. Now, for those of you who know the story of Moses, what was the reason that he ran away from Egypt? He killed a man, right? So, if you were guilty of a crime, would your first reaction to be to go back to the scene of the crime? You know, I'm told criminals do that. I don't know. But this returning to the scene of the crime, God is calling Moses to go into a very threatening situation. God is calling Moses to go back. But not only to go back, but to do something that's really, really hard to do. That some would say is impossible to do. And that is to lead the nation of Israel up out of slavery. Moses is sitting back there saying, I've probably been tried in absentia and I've been found guilty. They know I killed this guy. And you want me, a murderer, to go back and lead these people up out of slavery, which is something Pharaoh is never going to want to do. But these are God's instructions. And it makes me wonder, what is God calling us to do? What is God calling us to do? I think that sometimes God calls us to do really little things. Sometimes God calls us to do very, very small things. Walking down the street and just this inner nudge on our soul that says, hey, go talk to that person. Little nudge that says, hey, go and into that store, or just these little things, these right now moments that you weren't necessarily expecting when you walked out the door in the morning. An interruption to our routine, if you will. And then there are bigger things, right? The vocation. You know, sometimes people ask, What am I called to in terms of a vocation? What is God directing me to do in terms of what I'm going to do for a living? What is God directing me to do in terms of family? Should I get married? Should I be single? Should I have kids? Should I not have kids? What is God calling us to? Small things and large things. Today, burning bush, that's a pretty big thing that God was calling Moses to do. And as you might expect, Moses objects. God, that sounds like a really, really great thing, but you know what? I don't speak very well. And I don't think you want something that's somebody who's a bad speaker to go in front of you and represent you to Pharaoh. And in doing that, Moses joins a long list of people in the Bible who try to argue with God. Anybody here ever try to argue with God about something? Yeah. How'd that work out for you? Probably about as well as it worked out for Moses, right? And this is where it gets difficult. We need to be obedient and teachable. We need to be faithful to what God is calling us to do. And even if it seems hopeless, even if it seems impossible, that needs to be what we go forward to do. And we need to trust that God will do the work. That God will do the work, and that we are just the vessels that God is using. We don't answer the phone sometimes. There are times when we hear God calling and we choose not to communicate with God. There are times when we try to put God in a box, as it were. Last week we talked about slavery, and we talked about some of the things that we might be enslaved to, somebody we know might be enslaved to, things like addiction or abuse or secret sin or trying to earn our salvation. The list can go on. And we need to be praying for deliverance. But when God shows up, when God shows up to deliver, when God shows up and calls us to be an agent of deliverance, will we answer God's call? It's my prayer that that will be the case for us. And I can encourage you to continue praying for what God calls us to as individuals and as church in this following week. Would you pray with me now? Holy and loving God, we give you thanks and praise this day. And we ask that you would unstop our ears so that we can hear your call, that you would give courage to our hearts so that we would answer it, and strength to us, no matter who we are or what it is that you've called us to, that you would empower us to do your will. In your name we pray. Amen.